Does he still stand for truth, justice, all that stuff, lifestyle? Superman Returns.
Greetings, super fans, and welcome to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber, coming at you with yet another bonus episode of the show. Man, so much goodness coming your way the past couple of weeks. Wasn't sure if I'd get this episode in before the Superman celebration this weekend in Metropolis, Illinois. Phone calls going back and forth, emails going back and forth, schedules being worked out, but it did. It all worked out. Now, at the celebration this weekend, Superman Returns with the big blue Boy Scout from Superman Returns, Brandon Routh. He is making a return trip to Metropolis, but before he does that, he will be sitting down with me in my Fortress of Solitude, the Comic Book Central lair. Brandon Routh is my guest today. We are going to be talking about Superman, of course, 80th anniversary, what else? We are going to be talking about Legends of Tomorrow, Ray Palmer, The Atom, the Legends of Tomorrow and the Arrowverse, so much more. It is the exclusive in-depth interview you will not hear anywhere else. And it's just about as close to a live episode as I'm ever going to get here. We recorded this just hours ago. If you're listening to it on the premiere date, we recorded this just hours ago. I wanted to get it to you folks out there as quick as possible before the celebration. Now, the celebration itself takes place this weekend, June 7th through the 10th. Talk about anniversaries. This is also the 40th anniversary for the Superman celebration. Of course, 80th anniversary for Superman, 40th for the Christopher Reeve movie, the original. That was the film that inspired Brandon's film, Superman Returns. Also, the 30th anniversary of Superboy, the TV series. So many anniversaries, so many guests from all of those super projects. They are going to be there. That's the place to be if you are a Superman fan at the Superman celebration in Metropolis, Illinois. Hope you caught my last episode. That was my interview with Carla Ogle, the co-chair of the event. She gave us the rundown on the entire weekend. Jim Hambrick, talked to him from the Superman Museum. If you haven't heard it, then after today's show, go download or stream the episode at the website comicbookcentral.net or blogtalkradio.com/comicbookcentral. Now, at the Superman celebration, I am going to be moderating a Q&A with the stars of the new Superman series on the sci-fi channel Krypton. Sean Sipos, he plays Adam Strange. Blake Ritson, he plays Brainiac. They're going to be there. My Q&A with Sean and Blake this Saturday, June 9th, 1:30 at the main tent. So if you're going to be at the event, be sure to get your Krypton questions ready. And this just in, just arrived right here in the lair, an exclusive Krypton collectible from the folks at Sci-Fi, WB, and DC Comics. It's amazing. I'm not going to tell you what it is right now. It blew my mind when it came here to the lair. I'm going to be giving that collectible away to the attendee at the Q&A this weekend with the coolest, most super question during the panel. We're going to judge it. We're going to give that out. What is it? Let's just say I hope Sean does his job well or it might disappear. There's your hint. All right. Brandon is also going to be doing a Q&A at the event, but he is doing a Q&A for us all right now. Check this out. And when I get back, Superman returns in the form of the incredibly talented Brandon Routh. Brandon was born and raised in Norwalk, Iowa, not that far from the birthplace of original TV Superman, fellow Iowan George Reeves. As a young man, Brandon enjoyed playing trumpet and piano. He played sports, dabbled in theater, went on to attend the University of Iowa, and eventually moved to New York, then to Los Angeles to pursue a career in acting. Like his Superman inspiration, Christopher Reeve, Brandon started in daytime drama. He got steady work on One Life to Live, then went on to guest roles on TV hits Gilmore Girls and Will and Grace. In 2006, his incredible acting talent, as well as his uncanny resemblance to Christopher Reeve, caught the attention of Superman Returns director Bryan Singer, who cast him as the last son of Krypton. The film is squarely set in the Richard Donner, Christopher Reeve universe, right down to John Williams' epic score, reimagined by composer John Ottman. Now, although Brandon was signed to do more Superman films, Warner Brothers decided to go in a different direction for the follow-up film, Man of Steel. But by then, Brandon was on to more and more projects, many involving more comic book-themed movies and TV shows, including Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, Dylan Dog, Dead of Night, with his Superman pal, Sam Huntington, who played Jimmy Olsen in the film, a recurring role on the nerd-erific spy series Chuck, and in 2014, Brandon was cast on the superhero show Arrow as the DC Comics character Ray Palmer, also known as the Atom. It was a breakout role that Brandon brought to the spin-off series, The Flash. Then in 2016, he got his own series starring alongside the Legends of Tomorrow, those time-traveling superheroes that can go from the Old West to the far-flung future world of tomorrow in the blink of an eye. Now, from The Last Son of Krypton to A Legend of Tomorrow with Dylan Dog, Scott Pilgrim, and the Everywhere Man from Batman in between, my guest today, he definitely knows how to bring comic books to life. A super welcome to Brandon Routh. Brandon, welcome to Comic Book Central.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Hey, featured guest at this year's Superman celebration. We're going to talk about Superman here shortly. I'm going to be there. You're going to be there. We're all going to be there. We're going to have some fun. But first, congrats on your current superhero gig on Legends of Tomorrow. Renewed for season 4 this fall, so that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We're having a great time. Each season has been better than the last, so we're definitely looking forward to an amazing season 4.
What can we expect to see with Ray Palmer, a.k.a. the Atom, when the show returns? Do we get the suit? Are we going to get more giant size, more small size? What are we going to do?
I don't know if anything's going to change with the suit, although they do tend to come up with some fun things every once in a while. As far as Ray's concerned, I think it seems like we might be leading off a little bit where we left off, of last season, where Ray kind of gives Nora the time stone. And I think we'll be seeing a little bit more of her. And that has made a big impact on Ray and his character and kind of helping ground him and give him a different viewpoint on life to a degree and find the darker side to match his light side and find some balance in life.
He definitely has a light side on the show. There's a running joke on Legends where they always, I think it was even in the finale too, where they talk about they seem to screw up the timeline more often than they fix the timeline. Has there been any talk about, because I know in The Flash they do time travel a lot and then they kind of got away from it. Has there been any talk of like maybe losing the time travel element of it and bringing these guys in almost like Justice League or even like an Avengers? Because I always kind of saw Ray Palmer when he was on Arrow as like a Tony Stark kind of character, you know, this sort of genius, rich guy who invents a super, you know what I mean? He could kind of be the leader. Have they ever talked about that or is it straight up time travel the entire time?
Oh, you mean just having them be in the present for a while?
Yeah, just kind of come into 2018. Yeah, sort of like, you know, they can hang out at the mansion and fight crime in the present day.
No, not right now. I mean, as long as the time jump aspect, time traveling aspect, you know, works, and I think we'll probably continue with that. Although we wouldn't mind spending some more time in the present or just spending some time in one time. Timeline for a few episodes, you know, rather than jumping every episode, but staying in, you know, if we're in 1970, staying there for a couple episodes and then moving on to the next.
Maybe do like 3 or 4 episode arcs or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be
get a little bit of a home base feeling for a little while.
Get used to as an actor. It's probably a little easier too. Is it just my perception, or does Ray seem to be a little bit more of a different character on Legends than he was on Arrow? I kind of like, he seemed a lot more serious, a lot more kind of Tony Stark like on Arrow, and you get to do like straight up full on comedy in Legends.
Yeah, I think it's the nature of the two shows, especially where Legends has gone to. Now, the first season, you know, wasn't so much. It was more closely in line with the Arrow version of Ray. But as we found, what works best for Legends, Ray's been able to lighten up even more. And I've been able to bring more humor and comedy, and they've written more, you know, kind of some slapsticky and physical comedy stuff, which is fun. But there's definitely been a shift from Ray, and I think that's the nature of the shows and the nature of what Ray's there to do. You know, Ray had to be a serious businessman to a degree when he was running Palmer Tech. And in Legends, he's not really, you know, he doesn't have to be a leader. I mean, he's part of the team, but he's not the leader. So he can have a little more relaxed attitude. I think if he was the leader of Team Legends, you'd see him, you know, maybe not be as carefree all the time.
Would you prefer one Ray over the other? Do you prefer the carefree kind of? I say goofy, but I mean it as a compliment because he's got this like really goofy quality about him that you do the slapstick stuff so well. But do you prefer one over the other?
I enjoy the goofiness because it's even more fun to play and perform and be in the moment. Doing it at work is an enjoyable experience. So that's why I get into it. I like that there are many aspects to Ray, and I think they're both true. All those colors of Ray are all true. It's just dependent upon the environment and what's happening in the moment, which one he shifts in between. He's still the same Ray that can go into Palmer Tech and command a room in a boardroom. He just doesn't have to use those skills anymore, and so he can be the more lighthearted Ray. So I think it's just kind of fun to be able to play the gamut of that range. But I suppose, you know, if anything wins by a little bit, it's the goofier version of Ray. It's more fun.
Did you do much comic book preps for the character? Do you do them now? Is there anything from the comics you'd like to bring in?
Well, I pushed for a long time to do kind of, you know, use a little bit of the Sword of Atom storyline from the Atom, because I enjoyed reading that, and you know, and I like fantasy and medieval times and swords, so I wanted a sword fight. So we got to do that in the one Camelot episode. And I did sword fight technically in the samurai episode as well. But I was, you know, pushing for more of that. You know, we created that, the electric sword, sword made of light for Ray, but we haven't used it or modified it anymore. There was talk of it becoming like an actual part of the suit that he used more often, but it just hasn't happened for various reasons, probably. But I enjoyed that.
I got a chance to speak with your buddy Sam Huntington on the 10th anniversary of Superman Returns. He said, and I quote, that he would cut off a limb to work with you again. And he would he would love to have superpowers. Any chance we're going to see a super reunion in season 4 of Legends?
Oh, geez. I mean, I'm always love that. I've been pushing Sam on the producers since we started the show to have him be a part somehow of Legends. Or anywhere in the Arrowverse, because that means we have the chance to work together. They're always creating new characters and new jobs. So who knows?
Booster Gold?
That's who everybody thought Ray was going to be at one point. So
right, Ted Kord,
sure that would work well too. He's got the kind of energy that would work for that kind of character, and to have, you know, the funny thing would be to have Sam and I playing similar characters, because both having incredibly energetic characters, which is kind of, you got a little bit of that in Clark and Jimmy, but we didn't see a lot of Jimmy and Clark together in Superman Returns. But if they had their own show, it'd be them, you know, probably totally geeking out about things.
Yeah, and just to pass along too, he told me, because you know, he says that you guys get to hang out. He said Brandon will always be my Superman. And our kid's Superman. So, yeah, I don't know if you've got the S on right now on your chest, but in Sam's mind, you do all the time. In theory, could you appear on Supergirl, the Supergirl TV series, alongside Tyler Hoechlin?
Well, as Ray Palmer, of course.
Okay.
That wouldn't be a problem. You know, there's no, contractually, you know, legally, anyways, there's no reason I couldn't. I mean, I could technically be a Superman from a different Earth, or timeline, or whatever.
Would you do that? Universe. Would you suit up again?
I'm open to anything. You know, there's no point in saying no to things like that. I love that character, and I love the fans, and I love creating things. So, you know, I don't. There are very few doors I close in life.
Yeah, you just gave me the chills when you said that. That didn't even pop into my head, but yeah, that worked. Talk about Superman, man. You are headed to the Superman Celebration in Metropolis. We're both going to be there. A lot of folks are going to be there. You've been there before. This is your second trip back. You grew up in Iowa. Yeah. you are no stranger to corn dogs. Am I correct that part of your super skill set is making corn dogs?
That's some good digging, yes. Yes, indeed. I worked for the Iowa State Fair for 2 summers as a high school student in Iowa. The first year I worked for Campbell's Concessions, and I think they still run several many concession stands at the Iowa State Fairgrounds. And I made corn dogs. Was one of the jobs I made, I did.
Could you do that this weekend? Like, could you just go into the place and make some corn dogs?
I probably remember a little bit of the skill. It doesn't take too much. The most important thing to remember is don't try to grab the stick with your hand because the oil is pretty hot.
But you're Superman. You can do it.
You're moving too fast. You know, and you forget you don't have tongs, and you start to do that. But it's a bad idea.
That would be embarrassing if Superman got burnt this weekend. I hope I didn't plant any. Maybe we don't get anywhere near there. What kind of kid were you growing up? Were you a comic book fan? Were you a Superman fan?
I was a fan of Superman 1 and 2, the movies, for sure. Stories of me, you know, that I've told before in the press about watching Superman for the first time. I was so excited, dressed up in my Superman pajamas, jumping around on the couch and running around the living room, that I gave myself a migraine headache. And I think I threw up and was sick through half in the second half of the movie, but watched and rewatched that many times. I didn't grow up reading comic books. I didn't have anybody in my family or nearby friends that were comic book fans. So I just didn't, that wasn't part of my kind of culture as a child, oddly enough. But I did gravitate toward fantasy novels and films and Dark Crystal and Labyrinth and Jim Henson stuff and that kind of avenue, and you know, other fantasy novelists.
Oh, they're supposed to be doing a sequel to Dark Crystal, so that'd be cool if you get to do a voice or something. That would be amazing. Yeah, that would be very cool. Okay, so Reeve was your gateway into Superman. Let's talk about Superman Returns. With actors who have played Kal-El, a lot of them have said, you know, Superman's easy, hand on hips, you know, he's Superman. But like getting Clark right was the key. Is that what you found?
Opposite for me. Superman was much more challenging for me.
Wow. Okay.
Clark was who I am in many ways. Clark is me and Ray and Clark. You know, it's a mix of all those things. It's excitement about life. It's joy to have the experience of being human. Because he doesn't get it any other way. So I could tap into that. I could tap into that energy fairly easily. And so I wasn't playing clumsiness. I wasn't playing goofy. I was playing passion and excitement, which is a tool that I've used in portraying Ray as well, and kind of tweaking it in different ways. As for Superman, you had to pretend to imagine what it's like to be the most powerful being on Earth. I mean, that's how I see it. Saw Superman, the most, you know, an enlightened being, able to be anywhere, but to be everything for people too. And so I was far from that as a 24, 25 year old. Hmm. So I had to do a lot of looking inward and a lot of self-awareness work and spiritual work and other kind of things like that to kind of tap into that energy.
Okay, because there's that classic scene too, based on the Alex Ross painting, of Superman hovering above the Earth, of just taking everything in, and yet at the same time tuning everything out and focusing. Was that scene part of that process that you were going through, that sort of internal process?
Well, I mean, I worked on the whole film with my acting coach at the time, Tanya Berezin, who was amazing, and we all those instances where Superman was being powerful or godlike in many ways. You know, there are so many Christ-like images and imagery in Superman. And so we definitely investigated that aspect of Superman. He's being called to be the savior of man, not only of the United States, but of humanity. So how does one deal with that? How does that affect one's ego and how they move? and everything. You know, we tried to do our best to figure all that stuff out, you know, through exploration and different exercises, emotional exercises and such.
It's always interesting to talk to Superman actors to get their take on this perspective, because you got, I mean, you're basically working with three characters here. You're basically bringing three characters to life. For you, who was the disguise, Clark or Superman?
I mean, they're both. I mean, you know, Clark is a Superman. Clark is a disguise, but he's the most innocent part of Superman. So he's Kal-El, who can be human, who on Krypton he'd be Clark. I kind of think he'd be excited about life and people and positive and cheery. That's who Clark would be in Krypton, and he wouldn't have to be a disguise. So, you know, through Clark, he can have a relationship and meet people and have friends. Whereas Superman, he's isolated and alone in many respects. And Kal-El is the in-between figure trying to figure all that out.
So you saw it as one person, but maybe three different personalities.
There are aspects of him. You know, we all have different aspects to ourselves that we show to the world. One aspect that we show to our mate and to our friends, to our children and to our workmates, you know, we're never the same for any, most of us are not the same for everyone we encounter. We just don't think of ourselves as becoming Clark or becoming Superman, but we all have different personalities. Without being classified as schizophrenic, we all have different personalities that we tap into aspects of our personality.
You were the last actor to wear the red trunks on the outside. I've asked everybody in Cleveland when I talked to them about Superman about this. Trunks on the outside or not?
Outside. That's Superman.
That's my favorite answer. Let's talk about some of these iconic moments in Superman history. They're well represented in the film. I've been on a kick on talking about John Williams' music. I've been talking to the Lost in Space folks. What was the importance of incorporating John Williams' music into the film?
Oh, it's iconic. I think, you know, we had a real challenge of bridging the gap from Superman 1 and 2, largely, and not necessarily worrying about 3 and 4, but Superman 1 and 2, and bridging that gap of all that time, those 20-some years, to 2006, and bringing the biggest on-screen presence of Christopher Reeve in those movies to 2006. And the music was a huge bridge, because, you know, people know Superman, they know the costume, they know Chris, and then they know the music. It's one of the top three important things about Superman. So that was crucial in kind of bringing those people along. And also, since our movie was a loose sequel to those two films, it was important to kind of, you know, have the tone be similar in matching.
I know you got to work directly with Jack Larson in the bar scene. Did you get to meet Noelle Neal? Did you get to sort of meet both personally?
I met her briefly, much more briefly, because we didn't share a scene together. But she was lovely, and Jack was fantastic to work with, and had fun stories at the time. And both Sam and I got to work with him, and that was a fun scene just for Sam and I to be able to work on. But then, let alone work with Jack. Was great, and I love that they're incorporated into the film. It just makes it even more grounded and special to me.
I believe you are the only actor in history to recreate Action Comics #1. Can you talk a little bit about just walking into that scene? That had to be, because it's fun watching the behind the scenes videos where Bryan Singer assures you the car's never going to drop lower than the size of a human, but there's a look on your face in one of the takes that was more Clark than Superman. Let's put it that way.
Right. Well, the car wouldn't drop, but I still had to get my head out from underneath it. It still would have hurt pretty bad. And if I didn't get my footwork right and my hands moving on underneath all of the parts underneath the car, that would have been a challenge. We rehearsed that. I remember we were at the studio and they had a car rigged up, and I think there might be behind the scenes footage of that. But the first time we did that, and I rehearsed, you know, how to move and do that and be graceful. You know, that's a challenging thing to take you know, have enough weight of the car to feel like I'm doing something and make it work. But there were a lot of people around that day. It was a big day with lots of extras and watching and night shoot and kind of have to have everything right and to make it work. But it was an amazing experience, one of my fond memories. And anytime we got to do those things that were really practical, you know, or using a real car and outside, not in the studio, the confines of the studio, always made it even that much more special to me. So like the instance, for instance, what the scene that follows that, picking up Kitty Kowalski and taking her to the hospital, was one of my fondest memories, because that was back at the studio, but it was outside, and they'd rigged up the wiring for the flight to go through the actual trees that were there on the lot and land under the facade of the hospital. And that was just a real trip to be actually flying outside and not in the soundstage.
So you got to do the whole Christopher Reeve experience then with the wires and
I spent many months in wires and other configurations.
You mentioned Parker Posey. I got to ask you about her because I've been doing a Lost in Space kick here recently. We love her in Lost in Space, but does she stay in character on set? She's amazing in this.
I don't remember if she stayed in character. She's a lovely person and quirky and awesome and extremely talented and was just one of the highlights. I mean, I loved my time with her. Those two scenes are some of my favorite in the movie because, you know, she was awesome to play off of. And that's Superman getting to have that charisma and happy, you know, that the kind of flirtiness that was in Superman, the movie, but didn't get to have that with Lois because of, you know, the story. But Superman got to have that kind of banter a little bit with Kitty's character, which was fun. And I love that. She's just fantastic.
The airplane sequence. Okay, you like the practical stuff, but the airplane sequence, I know it took you forever to shoot, but there are moments in there I have to ask you about where the physics of what we're seeing has to take an impact. And there's even one shot where you break the wing off and you almost look like you're mad at yourself. I don't know. Could you just walk us through a little bit of that? Because it's almost like you're telling yourself, you know, idiot, do the math. Like, why would you, am I close on that? Or it's an amazing.
It's been a while since we did that, but I do remember that. I do remember what you're talking about. And that could have been a minor frustration. You know, I think Superman doesn't give himself too much time to digress and to worry about and to be annoyed at himself. But there's a little bit of smirk of I should have planned that better. And I know better. That was a bad place to grab it. But then it's determination to get back, to get back to work and to get back on the wing again. I mean, that I remember shooting that. That was a cool thing to have. It wasn't a whole section. It was a 20-foot section of wing that they had. They rigged me up above it, and I'd fly down and kind of land on it, thud down onto it, because I'm coming at high speed, and the grab and the pull, and they got the fans and everything. So, you know, they made it pretty realistic. There wasn't a lot that I had to imagine necessarily in those situations. They were, and I didn't have to force, you know, what the exertion was like either, because even if I wasn't lifting something heavy, it was uncomfortable to be in the wires, so it was easy to make strained faces.
Okay, so there's like Teamsters pulling you around and flinging stuff at you, and
the most challenging thing was the nose. We did the nose part two different ways. One way didn't work, and I forget, we had to reconfigure and they had to rebuild it because it wasn't looking right. You know, doing the whole kind of nose landing.
Recreating the Christopher Reeve flyby at the end. I mean, again, another iconic shot. And I watched that scene. I remember seeing, I just had a goofy grin on my face watching. I'm like, man, they did it. They brought it back. But again, some of these things, the shirt reveal, all these different things, were you like, did a little extra prep going into some of those things? Did you feel the weight of it?
I certainly did. The flyby homage was certainly kind of a big day, and we really wanted to. We did that many, many times to make sure it was right. You know, tilting my feet out and kicking it out and matching it to the original, and watching the original version of it and replaying it so that we could get the movement right and the look on my face. You know, just, you know, that was Chris was on my mind, and it was as much as it was to the audience, it was a salute. For me, it was a salute to Chris.
Pretty rough day with the Lex Luthor and henchman battle scene. That scene is just brutal. I mean, it almost looks like you're apologizing to the crew on some of the behind the scenes stuff at the end for like did you? What were you going through on that?
To them? I don't remember.
There's like at the end, you're like, I'm sorry if I got emotional. I had some emotional days, but I love all of you guys. It was like a little speech you gave when you on your last day of filming on the rooftop after the bank robbery scene. Like, oh, I bet you he's talking about the fight scene with the henchmen. Because there's a scene where they grab you by your head.
Yeah, I was a young actor at that time, and that was a lot of pressure, which I didn't really kind of understand or register, and it was kind of on me subconsciously, and so there were days where I might have gotten upset with people that I shouldn't have, and it certainly wasn't their fault. It was a backlog of things and issues that I was unable to voice, I think it was probably an apology for that, for being short with people who were trying to help me, but that's a journey that I've just been on, just as Brandon, but was going through a big time during that experience. So that's probably what that apology was for. But that to talk about that scene, that was the most excruciating part of the whole experience for me. A wonderful experience, and because I think it turned out great, but it was brutal. It was, the water wasn't, I'm sure that wasn't like ice cold, but it was freezing. And we did that, I don't know, 8 times something. And it was, I was really choking and really, I was, I could have told them to go lighter on me, but I wanted it to be as real as possible. And there's not a lot of acting in it. It's pretty real and raw, that whole experience.
I watched it again a couple of days ago, and I still cringe. It still gets to me. That's
yeah. Well, good.
Yeah, it's no. All these years later. Look, we're gonna wrap up things here. But 80th anniversary of Superman. You're about to meet up with Superman fans at the Superman celebration. How do you personally feel about your place in Superman's history?
I feel like I was a transitionary figure. We all are to a degree. We're all, no one is the one Superman. We all are a part of the Superman story and the Superman family, not just as actors, but the writers and artists and everyone who's been a part of Superman in any way is a part of that family and sharing the energy and spirit of Superman. And, Superman Returns, I think, serves as a transitionary film from Chris, who is, for most people, the ultimate Superman, and certainly for me, to Henry, to and beyond, and so that's what I take it as. It was a necessary step forward, necessary movie. I'm happy and so grateful to have been able to portray him for that film. That's meant the world to me, and it's been one of the biggest influences in my life thus far, positively. I've learned a lot from it. And I think it represents, in large part, the way I view Superman. The energy that I put into that is my vision of Superman. The greatness and the potential that exists in all humanity to be Superman-like is representative in that film. And those are the ideals that I like to promote when talking about Superman. He's not some lofty being that none of us can ever attain to be. We may never have heat vision and be able to fly, but we can certainly, I think, attain his worldview and his openness, his equality, his sense of justice and rightness and all those positive things.
Anastasia, is your next project up? We can look forward to that.
Season 4 of Legends will be out before that, but okay. Anastasia is supposed to be coming out in around Christmas time, I guess, of 2018, and should be a fun family movie.
Twitter is at Brandon J. Routh. That's where we can find out everything that's going on with your life.
Yes.
That sounds good. Yeah, BJ. Yeah, I talked to your buddy Teddy Sears. He said you used to be called BJ on the soap. Maybe we'll see you and Teddy reunited again one of these.
Yeah.
He's Zoom on The Flash. Maybe we'll see you guys.
I know. Another guy that I'd love to have up there working with.
We got to get you.
He's a blast and awesome.
You and Teddy and Sam, we got to get them all together. Brandon, I'm telling you what, looking forward to meeting you in person at the Superman celebration. That's going to be fun. Thank you so much for giving us a fitting bookend to the Donna Reeve era. That is a classic Superman story. It's the perfect closer to that.
Thank you, Joe.
Can't wait to see what's next for Ray Palmer and the Legends. Looking forward to meeting you at the Superman Celebration.
Yeah, it should be a good time. I look forward to seeing you, meeting you in person as well.
I just have one final question for you, Brandon Routh.
Okay.
Will we see you around?
I'm always around.
Hey, I'm not kidding. I absolutely got chills when Brandon said it would be possible for him to play a Superman of a different Earth in the Arrowverse. I mean, just the thought of that, man. How amazing would that be? That would be amazing. So, look, you can ask him about the Arrowverse. You can ask him about Ray Palmer, the Atom, Legends, Superman Returns. You can ask him about anything. You can ask him in person at the Superman Celebration in Metropolis, Illinois this weekend. I'm going to put the link to his Twitter feed in the show notes for this episode at my website so you can keep up with everything that he's got going on. Again, my thanks to Brandon for joining us today to celebrate 80 years of Superman. Okay, kids, that is all the time I have for today. Brandon is packing his bags for Metropolis. I'm packing my bags for Metropolis. Hope to see you there. I will be back with a new episode June 23rd. Until then, keep flying high. Keep reading those comics. Thanks for joining me here in the lair, Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central. All other content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of the respective holders.
Good night! Will we see you? Around?
I'm always around. Good night, Lois.